You're listening to the Waveguides Podcast, ham radio with a twist.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This TNT Open Forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in the FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This Cars server is supplied by the West Michigan privately owned repeater network. This TNT net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur radio subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers, whatever's going on. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.boip.southcars.com. Your moderator for this session is Mike. My call sign is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. I am located in Olathe, Kansas, which is about 23 miles southwest of Kansas City. And it says here I'm supposed to tell you the temperature. All I can tell you, it's been pretty nice. It's in the 40s. We're doing okay right here. Before starting, may I ask if there are any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled before we proceed? With that, let's proceed. The subject this evening is Ham Santa, and all are welcome to participate and become involved. I want to try to get us in the Ham Santa spirit. I know that the retailers around will get us into the giving and getting fever, and hopefully our pastors are getting us into the real Christmas story. And let's hope with a mix of that we can get our spirits going tonight so Christmas is not a drag, but a beautiful time of year. I went on the internet. Actually, what happened, I was talking with Pete a week or two ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and there was a void. There was no one to do the TNT tonight because of family obligations. So I figured I'd pick up on it, and I had no clue what I was going to present, and I just happened to say to Pete, oh, I'll find something about ham radio, and I'll find something about Santa Claus. And that gave me the trigger. So the next morning I got on the internet and I began looking for information about a ham Santa. This is KD0 CDQ letting it drop to stop that silly telephone. This is KD0 CDQ. That's probably my wife telling me she's getting off work and she's heading home. That's what she normally does, and obviously she got up a little late tonight. And what I did, I just did a simple thing. I went on the internet, looked at various ham sites trying to find something related to Christmas, something with the, you know, the light side of the Christmas story, the Santa Claus and all of that stuff. And I found some good information. I found some things that were kind of simple, so I didn't do those. I've got four stories here of interest, plus Pete in Quebec was good enough to send me a night before Christmas ham story. And I'm going to, when I come to that point, I'm just going to put my microphone in front of my speaker, and I'm going to play that night before Christmas for hams. And Gordon has heard this, and he is thinking of incorporating it into the Mrs. Santa program in a couple of weeks because he liked it so much. So two of us had the same thought about that that audio, so we'll do that a little bit later. Here's something I found. It's this title, Ham Radio Kids and Santa, it was titled. And it was from a ham group in Omaha, Nebraska. I'll give them the credit for this. It's their call, their AK-SAR-BEN, Amateur Radio Club of Omaha, Nebraska. It will be once again are on taking a monumental task of setting up the North Pole Network. What they do there, they're working close with Santa and area hospitals, honorary elves, whose NOHPP is making the final arrangements. Santa's North Pole Annex, located at an undisclosed location, is being readied and the hospital technicians are preparing their video distribution center for the special hookup with Santa via ATV. This year, four area hospitals are anxiously awaiting Santa's visit. Letting it drop? Yes, indeed. So now what they're doing up there in Nebraska, they are using the ATV repeater and a 2-meter FM repeater, both located at on a broadcasting tower, with a group of specially selected hams, will help dozens of hospitalized kids get their Christmas wish list to Santa. Pretty neat idea. I'm going to let it drop and I'll come back to it. Okay, now the way they work this, let me see, I lost my place there. I was trying to answer that telephone and get that out of the way. What they're doing, while Santa does know all of what the kids want, of course, he gets a little coaching via a repeater. Information about each patient is relayed to the North Pole via an annex studio. The timing is such that Santa is sure whose room the Santas are entering. He calls them by name as the TV is turned on and the ham enters the room. The kids are all smiles. Even the most doubtful child is won over. When Santa talks directly to him or to her, right from their TV set in full color. Santa also asks the ham to go to the waiting room and make sure that the kids waiting there for their relatives also have a chance to give their wish list in also. To keep the net moving along, the contacts go back and forth between the various hospitals. When every hospital is ready, the net coordinator director clues Santa. When delays are necessary, and to give Santa a break every so often, a special ID series of Christmas and holiday images are put on the screen and are transmitted over the ATV repeater. The AKSARBEN Amateur Radio Club has done the North Pole Net for many years now, the last several under the direction of N0HPP. It has become such a successful event that the children's life staff of hospitals called to make sure the club still plans to come each year. Some of the hospitals have even installed equipment specially for the network, complete with an antenna aimed permanently at the ATV repeater. While the Amateur Radio Club does communicate for numerous charity fundraisers, this is a special event. It was entirely initiated by the club and has no shortage of volunteers. One hospital employee asked how many children have they had in the hospital before the club would go into the trouble of setting up the network and come to the hospital. The club replied, one. All you need is one child and we'll come to your hospital. Each hospital that wishes to participate is set up and tested, and a contact person is given a number to call the morning of the network to inform the North Pole how many children Santa will be able to visit at their hospital. Some years, the lists are long at each hospital, and other years they are blessed and there's only a few that need to be served. Kids belong at home over the holidays, not in hospital rooms, but the club and Santa get ready just in case. Everybody involved would be happy to have gone to all the effort and not have anyone to talk to. They would really love that, but there's always children in the hospital. Isn't that cool? Letting it drop. I think that's cool that a club will go to hospitals and visit the children. Anybody have any comments about that? Come aboard with your suffix or come on and talk to me, guys. In any of your communities, have any of your clubs tried this, tried to contact a children's hospital and make arrangements to have a Santa come? The way they work this, from what I can gather, is they find out the names of the children and what room they are in, and then the hospital staff coordinates that they turn the children's television set on in that room, and Santa appears before them. And Santa is speaking to the children through the television, but the ham in the room is actually hearing the children, what they're saying to Santa, and he's sending it over 2-meter. He's sending it back to Santa over the 2-meter, so it seems as though the ham is actually communicating with Santa directly, which he is. And it makes Santa come alive to the children. It makes that miracle of Santa Claus come alive to them, because he addresses them by name and he discusses what they want for Christmas. And even to the guest children, the children that are waiting out in the waiting rooms, they go out to those children as well. And they let them communicate with Santa to kind of give a little Christmas spirit to the holidays there. I think that's a very sweet thing that this club in Omaha, Nebraska does. Some of us may think of doing that on our own, you know, modifying it in some way. I know here in Kansas City we have two Children's Mercy hospitals, one in Kansas City, Missouri, and one in Overland Park, Kansas. They are very fine facilities, and they have a very fine reputation. They also have an awful lot of children in there year-round. It's really sad if you go in there to visit, but it's a good thing because there are doctors there and nurses and staff that specialize only in children, and they really work especially with the children that are there long-term, these cancer-surviving children that they're working with on an ongoing basis. It's really a beautiful thing to see how they work with these children and how close they become with them. So this is an idea that I may approach with my club, or may look into doing something like this in future years. All we need is a nice rotund guy to be Santa Claus. Maybe we can't use the television hookup, the ATV. Maybe we don't have that facility. But we could always have a Santa Claus go room to room, and in advance we could find out from the parents what the children hope to have for Christmas. And then we could give Santa a list. I think we could work it that way. That's another way of doing it without having this neat ATV set up that they have permanently in the hospitals. I'm going to let this drop. If anybody has a comment, come on aboard about this approach. This is KD0, CDQ. Here's another little story that I found on the internet about Ham and Santa Claus, the Ham Santas. Santa Claus is coming, it says, to a receiver near you. The holidays are coming and the kids are starting to anticipate Christmas. Sometimes a great introduction to ham radio that entertains the youngsters leads them to speak of Santa on the air. Each year on 14300 kilohertz, regular input on what is known as a Santa Claus Net brings volunteer Santas into ham shacks and other places the world over. That's actually 14.300 kilohertz. For the better part of the past decade, they have a fellow here, his name in Alabama, Gulf Coast, coordinates our Santa Claus Net activity, as he will be there at Christmas time. This is a fellow named Clyde. He's a Kilo Golf 4 Bravo Victor Robert, or Romeo. Volunteer Santas choose a clear frequency in the general portion of the 20-meter band and let it be known on 14.300 kilohertz that they'll be where they'll be. Folks with youngsters to entertain can have them tune in and give the youngster a chance to talk to Santa while Santa is on the air. This year date will be December 23rd and 24th, 1300 to 1600 Eastern Standard Time, because they're in Alabama. Check with the Maritime Mobile Service Net at 14.3 kilohertz for the actual Santa Claus operating frequency. This is in Alabama. Santa Claus, great fun for the ham display at the local shopping center also. Have a mobile command post operating on 20 meters. Let the kids talk to Santa, and meanwhile talk with the adults about disaster preparedness, and why ham radio is important. Say, we got a little ply there. We're working with the kids and working with the adults. Meanwhile, show off your capabilities to leadership, shopping center management, and others. That would be a neat thing to do in a shopping center. Net controls all over North America will be playing Santa that day. A couple of Santas go all out with the amateur production. No music, of course, to give the kids the impression that they're actually listening to activities around Santa's headquarters. The kids will have fun, and it shows ham radio to the public. Sometime, Lady Ops will play Mrs. Claus. We're going to have a Mrs. Santa in 2 weeks, to the delight of the children. What a great way to introduce the grandchildren to ham radio when you visit them over the holidays with the ham radio. Let them talk to Santa Claus. Explain how radio waves propagate on HF and tune to the 20-meter band to find Santa ready and waiting to hear the kids. Letting it drop, if anybody has a comment, please come aboard.
Six Victor, sir.
Go ahead, please, Six Victor.
Thank you, Mike. I'd like to say that Gordon here, KY6B, that South Cars is doing the same thing. primarily. On Christmas Eve day, between 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and noon Eastern Standard Time, Santa will be present on our HF frequency of 7.251. He will be in his full gear, and also, you know, taking the request for the from the children, but he will be on full video, color, if you will. The URL site that a person needs to check into, sign into in order to see the video coming out of Santa's headquarters, is posted on our website at southcars.com. Southcars.com. So we're carrying the banner also, sir. Over.
Thank you, Gordon. I feverishly wrote down that advertisement. That's good. I'm glad you stuck that in there. Yes, again on HF and 7.251 megahertz from 10 to 12 Eastern. And again, to get the video, you would go into www.southcars.com and look for the information there as to how to get the video to play for you. That's a neat thing to do. Anything we can do with children at Christmas time, hey, we're all children. We're just older children, you know? We're just bigger kids. So we enjoy Christmas, and it's so great to share with children. It can be such a sad time, especially for sick children, and it can be such a good thing to communicate to children like with this, what we're doing here with on HF with South Cars. It's so good to communicate with children. You know, interesting thing happened the other day. I came home from work, and as I drive up the driveway, I'm always checking out the front of the house, and I noticed that there was a parcel on the porch at the door. So I checked the parcel, and it was from Amazon.com. You know, Amazon could have anything in the box from, you know, from this to that. God knows what's in the Amazon box. So I brought it in the house, and I opened it, and to my delight, it was a package from a friend of mine who works in the United Arab Emirate. That's over on the, you know, over there on the Persian Gulf. He's a young man that I met in the 1980s when I was working at Colorado College. He was a student there. I worked in the library, and he would come in daily, but actually he was a student at Colorado University, and he would come into the Colorado College library because it was close for him to get. It was easy for him to get to. And I got to know this young man over time, and his goal was to go to the Middle East. Now, this young man was a Christian boy, and he wanted to spread the word about Christ, and he wanted to go to the Middle East and do this. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, that's a scary thing to do, go to the Middle East and talk about Christ. That's what he wanted to do. So when he finished college at Colorado University, I went to the graduation. It was really a beautiful thing. They have huge classes there. And it was at the Albemarle Hotel, a very beautiful, swanky hotel in Colorado Springs. It was very nice. Well, then from there, he took his master's at Ohio State University. And when he went to Ohio State University, he lived in the dorm with young men from the Middle East. You know, exchange students, I guess they call them in those days. And so he lived with them, and he got to learn Farsi, and he got to learn the dialects that he was accepted. He learned how to be accepted among the Arab kids, okay, Arab guys. So then he proceeded to seek a position in the Middle East. I'm going to let it drop because I didn't know when I started my stopwatch here. Well, he found a position in the Middle East. This was 1984, 1985, okay? I kind of lost track of him. It was, you know, kind of, we didn't have emails really at that time. It was letters. So he would send out a newsletter maybe once a year telling us about his travels, how he was doing. So maybe once a year we'd get a piece of paper in the mail with his information. It was pretty cool, right? It turns out that he is now a PhD. He got his PhD through a university in Scotland. What a world traveler, right? So I don't know how they do this, how he was in the Middle East, and yet he got his degree from Scotland, and of course he had to do time in the classroom there and go back to the Middle East. What his job is at the United Arab Emirate, he teaches Islamic women. Now in Islam, it is, I understand, degrading for a man to teach women. It's a lowly thing to teach women, okay? So they hire Americans and English people, you know, from Britain, to teach the women. Because it seems in the Middle East, English is the language. English is the language of the educated people. From what he tells me, he was here this summer when he came home on a furlough, I guess you call it, came back to the States to visit his sister. His parents have since passed away. He tells me that in every profession in the Arab world, you must know English except for law, because law is Sharia. And Sharia law, they speak Arabic. But in every profession, from a medicine to, what are you going to say, you know, all the professions, you must speak and read English. All of the textbooks are in English. All of the professors in the university level speak English. So as you can see, they all tell us this, but English has become very powerful in the Middle East. That is the language of the learned people, of the educated, shall we say, they're going to be the upper class, right? So for good or evil, he teaches these women, and he had pictures of the classes, and all of the women are wearing the burqas, they're all dressed in black or dark brown with the faces covered. And so I asked him, how do you know which student is doing the work or not? You know, it was pretty funny. I'm going to let it drop. Okay, I'm back on again. He finds that it's very rewarding to be teaching these young women in United Arab Emirates, because they do want to learn. They're very motivated. One. Two, they're from upper-class families, so they're educated and they know how to handle themselves. And three, being university age, they're mature enough, the women are mature, that you can work with them, and even though you're an Anglo, you're American or a Brit, they accept you. Now, he has to watch his distance when he's around the girls in the classroom. He has to, you can't come but so close to them, and you can't hover over the back to them, over their back to see what they're writing on a paper to help them with their work. You've got to keep a discreet distance, and you've got to be very, very well kept. You know, you have to be a fine presentation to them. And at the university on this, he had pictures. It's really a lovely looking place. Good grief, it looks like a palace. What they do is the men attend classes on one side, and the women attend classes in a separate building totally. And all of the staff has to live on campus in a separate part of the campus that's separated by berms and trees, so you have to drive all the way around the campus to get to the education side to keep the staff away from the young people, shall we say. Now, this young man is a Christian, as I said, and he's able to share in a limited way, of course, and that young man was sweet enough to send us a Wesley Bible. And the Bible is leather-bound. It's a very expensive copy. It was so grand of him to send this Wesleyan Bible through Amazon.com, because when he was here, he heard my wife mention that she'd like to have a Wesley Bible, which is a little different. And he heard that, so he sent her one. And don't you know, the next day she had that Bible at the Christian bookstore having her name engraved on it. And she came home to me and said, you know, maybe I should have put your name on there too. And I said, no, that's okay. That's your Bible. So even though the young man since 1984 has been working in the Middle East, he's kept his head in more ways than one. And he's able, in his limited way, to spread the gospel. And a Christmas time is special to him and special to other Westerners, shall we say, from Great Britain and the United States to teach there. And I'll tell you about the church they attend. Pretty interesting. Anybody has any comments, please come aboard. This is KD0CDQ on the TNT conference. We're having a Santa Christmas, and I'm giving a little story about the Middle East. And a Christian friend of mine that's been there for, what is that, since 1985. Somebody get out a crayon and count this up for me. I don't have enough fingers and toes. But it seems that in the Middle East, there are enclaves, shall we call it, of Christians that work in those areas. They're mainly engineers and doctors and school teachers, professors, you know, that type. And all of the Islamic people know that there was one church that was originally there. That was the Anglican Church, which is the Church of England. Remember, guys? The Church of England was the only church that the Arabs actually knew of. They don't know about various denominations or even the Catholic Church, because it was the Anglicans that went there first with the Brits. So the Anglican Church sets up, let's say enclaves, I'll use that word again, they actually are allowed to construct a church, an Anglican church, on special property that's been set aside where it doesn't interfere with their religion. And so the Anglican church is the church of choice in the Middle East, especially in the well-developed countries like United Arab Emirates. Now, when other denominations wish to have church services, whether they be Nazarene or Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian, they have to approach the Anglican church leaders and get permission to have services. So all services are conducted under the umbrella of the Anglican church, even though they may be practicing Presbyterian service or whatever. But because the Arabs do not want to deal with all these denominations. They say they're very confused with all of our denominations, and they don't understand why they are denominations, so they stay under the umbrella of the Anglican Church. So even in the Middle East, there will be Christmas worship. There will be Christmas recognition, even in the Middle East, because they do respect their educated people, and they do respect our beliefs. I think that's very cool over there. That's a little wrinkle that we wouldn't know about except for having friends that actually have lived there for a long period of time. This is KD0CDQ letting it drop before I come back with another Christmas story. All I Want for Christmas will be next. This is KD0CDQ. What I found here from this ham group is that when they were a kid, all they knew was the album All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Remember that old song? Well, they made a wish list. They made a wish list now of what they want for Christmas would be if they, as ham radio operators. And what they have put down here is, of course, more sunspots. They'd like to have more sunspots. That's a big main thing they say they like to have. And now the medium age of ham radio operators is actually decreasing this year. This means not only recruiting kids, but also young adults. And that's what they'd like to see, more young people come into our hobby to keep it going. The pessimists are continually talking down ham radio, and they say there's not many people going into it, but we know better, do we not? We know that there's people coming in to ham radio. So we wish that we'd continue to get people. That's on their wish list. On their All I Want for Christmas wish list, they also have that the FCC to appoint someone as effective as Riley Hollingsworth, I don't really know Riley Hollingsworth, to take over as the enforcer for the amateur radio service regulations. They also would like to see the FA to pay a little more attention to amateur radio regulations and not treat them as an afterthought. Another thing they would like for Christmas, I don't understand this one for sure, the silliness of 75-meter phone and 14.275 megahertz to go QRT. I don't quite understand that one. Maybe some of you do and could fill us in on that. Also, All I Want for Christmas is the ARL to work harder to make itself truly a National Association of Amateur Radio and on increasing the percentage of licensed hams that are ARRL members. I'll go for that. Let's get some more members and keep this thing going so we can keep our heads up against the FCC onslaught as it comes a little at a time. And what else would they like for Christmas? A ham would like to be able to brag about all the ham radio purposes, not only providing emergency and public service communications, according to Part 97. They'd also like to advance the state of the radio art, improve our technical and operating skills, expand the number of trained operators, technicians, and electronic experts, and enhance international goodwill. We'd like to see all of this done. That would all be on a ham radio's What I Want for Christmas list. And finally, ham radio clubs to grow and thrive even in these tough economic times. That's what they have on All I Want for Christmas list. This came to us from a Dan who is KB6NU. I'm going to let it drop here. If anyone has any comments, please don't hesitate to come aboard. I know you're all busy, but once in a while it would be good to hear one of you speak. If not, that's quite okay. I can keep on going, letting it drop. Here's an article, I didn't quite understand it, I've read it over a few times. It says, send a ham radio holiday greeting to the entire world on QSO. From what I gather here, there is a phone number we can call. I won't give it over the air, but there's a phone number, and if you call that number and you want to mention something about your family, your ham friends, or your club, and you want to say something about the ham radio hobby, and you want to send a special Christmas or a special holiday ham radio story, that they will handle it for you. This is, they'll do a QSO Christmas show aired on a powerful international shortwave station heard around the world. So if you contact this phone number, which I won't give over the air, if you want, I'll put it in the text box. They say that they'll send a message for you around the world. It doesn't say selectively as a particular part of the world. So I'm not sure what this is. If somebody wants to look into it, I for one don't call numbers that I don't know, of course. But it's in the text box. This is the phone number. And what they'll say is they'll broadcast, they have a broadcast schedule that you can find on QRZ.com. Okay, it must be a valid group. They're on QRZ.com. And you can find their show. Well, I've got the call here, but I don't want to give it over the air. If you go to QRZ.com and look for a Christmas show, if you think I should put it in the text box, I will put the address in there. I don't want to verbally put it over the air. And you can join with the radio amateurs in the U.S., then spread peace, joy, and cheer to the rest of the world over what is dearest to us on the magic of radio. It's pretty neat. From what I have deciphered, it's a shortwave kind of a deal. So I'm not sure if it's shortwave radio or it's actually ham radio, which way they do this. But according to this, it comes under the QSO radio show. So it's under the proper umbrella, I'll put it that way. It's a valid group. Anybody have any Christmas stories they'd like to relate or anything about Christmas, anything that happened weird to them or anything? Please go ahead now.
Hi, Mike. This is Jim, KJ4WKD. Not a Christmas story, but back to you said you didn't understand the Christmas wish for the silliness on 7 and 14. I listen much or to 20 meters, but on 80, I think what they're talking about is inappropriate behavior sometimes that you hear on 75 and 80, and it is inappropriate, and it would be a good Christmas wish to see that go away. Hams shouldn't behave the way some do, and again, it's not the good time of year for inappropriate behavior. So I hope that clears that up. Back to you, and I am clear. Thank you. Hope that gave you a break, too, by the way.
Six Victor, question?
Go ahead, Six Victor.
Yeah, first of all, good evening, Jim. Nice comment. What was the source of the QSO message, may I ask, sir? Over.
Well, I'll enter it into the box. It actually came off of the... QRZ.com is where I got it. It seems as I look at it that this is valid. I'm putting it in the text box now. I only think it's valid because of that it's communicated through QRZ.com. I'm actually clicking in here the address of this website. Almost there. There we go. Yeah, it's a QSO radio show. .com, and according to what I have here, it's from the QRZ.com is where I found it. I found it in a forum. I found it in one of the forums on a thread. So it's something that is valid ham radio, or they wouldn't be able to join in on a thread on QSO without having a license. This is KD0CDQ.
Yeah, I would think that's okay, Mike. Telephone number, the website, I would put in there in the text box, published on QRZ.com, and let it go. Over.
Okay, I'll enter that in there next, and then I have another story, a couple of things here to go through as well. This is KD0CDQ. If anybody has any comments relating to Christmas or whatever, please come aboard with it. Okay, this is KD0CDQ on the TNT conference. And we're trying to have a little kind of a mixture here of ham Santa is what I'm thinking of, because I know most of us ham radio operators either be looking forward to Hanukkah, which actually started last week, I think, or Christmas. Either way, we have somewhat of a religious bend, some belief in that area. And I'm just trying to give the modern thing, the Santa Claus side of Christmas mainly, and trying to give us something to entertain some thoughts, the things that we can do. I have two pieces here. This one piece is the ham radio operator's night before Christmas. And also, I have a ham radio operator's night before Christmas that I got from Pete in Quebec that he sent me via email. And I have run it once and found it entertaining. So what I'm going to do after I do this reading of the night before Christmas, I'm then going to turn this ham site on, and I will put the microphone up to my speaker, and I'll let you listen to this night before Christmas, which is quite neat. And you'll be able to hear it through that, and it'll give me a break, too. I can listen as well. First, I have this, the ham radio operator's night before Christmas, and I'll try to make pauses so we do not run over. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through 2 meters, not a signal was keyed up any repeaters. The antennas reached up from the tower quite high to catch the weak signals to bounce from the sky. The children tech pluses took their HTs to bed and dreamt of the day they'd be extras instead. Mom put up her headphones, I plugged in the key, and we tuned 40 meters for that rare ZK3. Then the meter was pegged by the signal with power. It smoked a small diode, and I swear shook the tower. Mom yanked off her phones, and with all she could muster, logged a spot of the signal on the DX packet cluster. While I ran to the window and peered up at the sky to see what could generate RF that high. It was way in the distance by the moon made it gleam, a flying sled and an 8-element beam. And a little old driver who looked slightly mean, so I looked, thought for a moment that it might be Wayne Green. But no, it was Santa, the Santa of hams, on a mission this Christmas to clean up the bands. He circled the tower, then stopped in his tracks, and he slid down the coax right into the shack. Scary, huh? I'm going to let it drop and I'll continue. This is KD0CDQ. Now it continues, while Mom and I hid behind stacks of CQ, the Santa of hamming knew just what to do. He cleaned off the shack desk and papers and parts and filled out all my late QSLs for a start. He ran copper braid, took a steel rod, and pounded it into the earth till the station was grounded. He tightened loose fittings, he re-soldered connections, cranked down modulation, and installed lightning protection. He neutralized tubes in my linear amp. Never worked right before, now it worked like a champ. A new low-pass filter cleaned up the TV. He connected the settings to my TNC. He repaired the computer that would not compute, and he backed up the hard drive and got it to boot. Then he reached really deep in the bag that he brought, and he pulled out a big box, a new rig, I thought. A new Kenwood, an ICOM, a Yaesu for me. If he thought I'd be bad, it might be a QRP. Yes, the ultimate station, how I deserve this. Could it be all those hours that I worked public service? He hooked it all up in record time, quickly worked 100 countries, all down on 160. He should have been happy it was my call he sent, and the cards and the postage would cost 2 months' rent. He made a final adjustment as I flipped the page. And he left the card on the key to Gary from Santa, 73. Then he grabbed his HT, looked straight in my eye, and punched a code on the pad, and he was gone. No goodbye. I ran back to the station and piled up was big. But cards from St. Nick would be worth my new rig. Oh, too late for this final came over the air. It was copied all over. It was heard everywhere. The ham Santa explained that a ham might expect Merry Christmas to all. And to all good DX. This is from Gary Pierce, KN4AQ. Isn't that interesting? And I think, from what I remember, the audio that I have from Pete might be along these very same lines. Does anybody have any comments? Sounds like Iron City, does it? Letting it drop? What I'm going to play now, it's actually on the internet, and while it's playing, I will put the address of this site up there, if all works out right, so you can copy this if you want to use this, if you want to see this video that goes along with this. Let me see. Oh, it's got a kind of a long address. But I will put it in the box while it's playing, and if you want to, you could actually key it up on your computers if you have them started. So the method I'm going to use is an old method indeed. It's putting the microphone up to the speaker so you can hear it come through. I hope the audio will be loud enough. I'm sure that it will, because it's been loud enough for you to hear me as I move this microphone around. But I put the microphone in front of my speakers, and I'm going to play a Ham's Night Before Christmas, and then I will put the address of it in the text box so you can copy it.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through 2 meters, not a signal was keying up any repeaters. The antennas reached up from the tower quite high to catch the weak signals that bounced from the sky. The children, technicians, took their HTs to bed and dreamed of the day they'd be extras instead. Mom put on her headphones, I plugged in the key, and we tuned 40 meters for that rare ZK3. When the meter was pegged by a signal with power, it smoked a small diode and, I swear, shook the tower. Mom yanked off her phones and, with all she could muster, logged a spot of that signal on the DX packet cluster. Well, I ran to the window and peered up at the sky to see what could generate RF that high. It was way in the distance, but the moon made it gleam. A flying sleigh with an 8-element beam. And a little old driver who looked slightly mean, so I thought for a moment that it might be Wayne Green. But no, it was Santa, the Santa of Hams, on a mission this Christmas to clean up the bands. He circled the tower, then stopped in his track, and he slid down the coax right into the shack. While Mom and I hid behind stacks of CQ, this Santa of Hamming knew just what to do. He cleared off the shack desk of paper and parts and filled out all my late QSLs for a start. He ran copper braid, took a steel rod, and pounded it into the earth till the station was grounded. He tightened loose fittings, re-soldered connections, cranked down modulation, installed lightning protection. He neutralized tubes in my linear amp. Never worked right before, now it works like a champ. A new low-pass filter cleaned up the TV. He corrected the settings in my TNC. He repaired the computer that wouldn't compute, and he backed up the hard drive and got it to boot. Then he reached really deep in the bag that he brought, and he pulled out a big box. A new rig, I thought. A new Kenwood? An Icom? A Yaesu? For me? An Alacraft? Tentec or Flex? Could it be? If he thought I'd been bad, it might be QRP. Yes, the ultimate station. How could I deserve this? Could be all those weekends I worked public service. He hooked it all up, and in record time, quickly worked 100 countries, all down on 160. I should have been happy. It was my call, he said. But the cards and the postage will cost a month's rent. He made final adjustments and left a card by the key to Gary from Santa Claus, 73. Then he grabbed his HT, looked me straight in the eye, punched a code in the pad, and was gone. No goodbye. I ran back to the station, and the pileup was big, but a card from St. Nick would be worth my new rig. Oh, too late, for his final came over the air. It was copied all over. It was heard everywhere. The Ham Santa exclaimed what an old ham expects. Merry Christmas to all, and to all. Good DX.
I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to let it drop, and then I'm going to give you some more information, some more fun. It's KD0CDQ. This is KD0CDQ. I also found a very interesting, actually, I guess it's one website, that has, well, I don't know what to call it. It's a Ham Radio Christmas. It's got cartoons on it. It's got Ham Radio cartoons. Now, I looked this up a few days ago, so I forgot what all is on there. What I have here, I'm going to read you the website, and it actually has on it the cartoons that are ham radio TV cartoon references. and I found them to be quite humorous. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to key them up if I can do two things at once when I put it in the box. These cartoons all refer to ham radio, and they're all on the background of television programs. That's what it was. So I am keying it up for myself so I can talk a little more intelligently about it, because it was a week ago, I believe, that I found this site, and I haven't been on there since. So I'm making sure that I'm checking it twice to make sure that I'm putting it down properly. Yeah, it's ET Gift Store. ETGiftStore.com, Ham Radio Christmas. And it's, I guess they're trying to sell stuff to us, but that doesn't mean you have to buy anything. Now, where did I find the rest of these cartoons? Let's see how I found this. Okay, if you notice, when you get on there, the left hand has a column of different views you can look at. And somewhere here I found ham radio. There it is, gifts for ham radio operators. And what did I catch there? Oh, it's got Christmas ornaments. That's one thing on there. It's pretty cool. It's got Christmas ornaments for gifts. But I do think I also found a number of cartoons on there. Well, you can look around on that site and see what you can find. But I did find a host of cartoons, so they're available somewhere, if not on that site. I'll give you something else. I usually work a lot with Google. I really like Google. And so in Google, I find a lot of information there, guys. And I am writing in now on the text box the cartoon reference that I found. I don't know if this is going to work for y'all. If you go onto that site that's called Ham Radio TV Cartoon References, which is in the text box, you'll find a host of radio cartoons, and all of these can be downloaded individually. I did check them. You can take any one of these and you could share them with your friends or put them in a newsletter or something. And they start out with The Simpsons, of course. It's off The Simpsons. They had one of their episodes that was ham radio. And so most of them start out with right off that ham radio episode. And then we go into this other group, which is South Park. It's got scenes from South Park that are ham radio related. Then it goes to Family Guys. Oh, it actually gives you the episode. Very cool. It not only puts them all together, but it gives you the episode where these cartoons came from. So they're stills off the television, in other words. Somebody took a still. So I'm going to call it from the television shows, the various shows, and put them in this one big nest for us to find. And SpongeBob SquarePants, all this silly stuff from the children. It's all got ham reference. And maybe even for if you have grandchildren or young children at home, the SpongeBob SquarePants ham radio references might be fun for them. You could actually download these and use them as stickers on their Christmas gifts. That would be cute to have ham radio stickers on their packages. That might be neat. But that's just one site, but there are more than just the one site that have ham radio cartoons. And they're very useful, I think, for just knocking around with the other guys or things with the children. It's all so much beautiful stuff available on the Internet for us to play with. Anybody have any comments? I'm going to let this drop. This is KD0, CDQ. Well, that's everything I had planned tonight for the Ham Santa. I hope I got your imaginations going of things that we could do individually, things that we could do as a club, things we could do just to be fun with people, just to have some Christmas fun, a Christmas cheer. Ham radio is such a fun hobby, and Christmas time can be a fun time where we reach out and talk to new people that we normally wouldn't talk to. So I'm one of those guys at Walmart. If I'm on the line, I might just talk to you, or I definitely talk to the checkers. I always like to let people know that they're not just cogs, that we're actually people, and people will actually talk to me or talk to them. I think it's cool. I think a lot of people rarely have anyone speak to them in their daily walk through their day. It may be just mechanical at the office or at the place of business, the factory or something, but no one really talks to them individually. So I try to do that. And try to do little special things all through the year, little special things. As I was leaving Walmart yesterday, a daddy was holding a little baby, and then a little child was standing there trying to get the cart for him, and it was too heavy for the little boy to get the cart. Well, the shoe fell off the little baby that the daddy was holding in one arm and had a bundle of packages in the other arm. So, hey, I just reached to the floor, picked up the little shoe for the little darling, and the shoe was still hot from the little foot, and gave it back to the dad. And, of course, the dad says thank you, because he could hardly bend down with having the kid on one arm and a bunch of bundles on the other, and a little boy just playing with the shopping cart. But little things you can do for people can mean an awful lot. And if nothing else, let's start that at Christmas time and try to get it all the way through the year. I try to do it throughout the year because it helps me to get through, that the things are not boring or dry. So as I look out my window and I see the Christmas lights across the street from house to house to house, this one red ribbon kind of catches my eye. I must be one of those people that red catches me, because there's a ribbon on a house just down the street and I can see this red ribbon illuminated. And I kind of like to focus on that while I've been talking to you this evening. Well, guys, I hope I didn't bore you. I hope I made it interesting. And I want to encourage you that I think it's two Thursdays from now. We're going to have Mrs. Santa on the air. And I'm going to read again what Gordon told us earlier as I flipped through my papers to find where I scribbled it. Of course, I've lost it. How could I do that? Gordon may have to tell you again about what SCARS is doing. I know it's going to be from 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time, and I believe that's on Christmas Eve, and it will be on 7.251 on HF, and it will also be on the www.southcars.com will be referenced to it. Oh, here's where I wrote it. I found out where I wrote all this information. Yes, from 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time, HF, 7.251 megahertz, and also on www.southcars.com will be the URL to get the video. Ah, to get the video of this Christmas program. And do I have it right, Gordon? Is that on a Christmas Eve? Is that when it is? Back to you, Gordon. This is KD0CDQ.
Boy, I'm glad I got back from the kitchen. KY6V. Yes, sir. It will be Christmas Day. It will be from 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time on 7.251. Santa will be there in all of his glory. It will be videoed, and the camera will be on him during the entire session. And the URL will be posted on southcars.com. Then at noon, when the HF session closes, Mrs. Santa is going to take over on the digital side, our VOIP.southcars.com website. I don't think we're going to have video on that, but nevertheless, we will continue until Santa has done his duty. Go ahead, Mike. KY6V, over.
Okay, so that is on Christmas Day. Do I have that right, please?
No, I think I misquoted that. It's Christmas Eve day. The HF website opens up at 10 o'clock Eastern, runs till 12. Our South Cars Digital will pick up at 12 and run until the end. Over.
Very good. Thank you. So Christmas Eve, that will be on the air. That may be neat for children. Anything we can get them into looking at ham radio as being something that's not scary or boring or whatever they may say, anything that relates to them like Christmas, maybe if you could have your screen going and have the show the Santa or be on HF and they can listen to Santa on 7.251. Now, a friend of mine lives about a dozen miles from here, Tony. He has been able to, on two occasions, contact South Cars on HF, but I'm not home during the day, so I have not made an HF contact with South Cars yet. I did hear them one day I was off during the day. I did hear them, but I didn't make contact. I will make that effort during the Christmas break during the Christmas break to try to get hold of them. And with us, our Christmas break starts, you think I even know when it is? I think it starts on Wednesday, yes. It starts on the Wednesday. Don't ask me for the date. I got to look at my calendar here because we've got finals coming up at school. Pretty nasty. They start the children's finals on a Friday, and they make them come to school on Monday and Tuesday. Now, no wonder the calendar looks weird. It's on October. How did that ever happen? I'm looking at this weird ARRL calendar, and I'm saying, they got something messed up here. Yes, we will be having finals on the 17th and the 20th and 21st, so my winter break, they don't call it a Christmas break any longer, my winter break will start on the 22nd of December. So any time from the 22nd on, I'm going to try to get hold of South Cars on HF. And at least make a contact, because I haven't been able to do that yet. So on the 24th, which is a Friday, that's when Santa will be on 7.251 megahertz, and you'll also be able to look at the video. If you get on southcars.com, it'll direct you to the video. Again, from 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time is when they're going to do the HF programming. Okay. Now, keep in mind, folks, that I've got six grandchildren within 6 miles of my home, so my Christmas time is pretty well bumpy as far as being available to mess with ham radio. So I'll see how that works out. Now, I'll tell you how busy I get this time of year. I missed Wednesday night, last night. I forgot to come on the air and work with the review. I went off to Walmart instead. I forgot. I totally forgot it was Wednesday night and we were doing a review. And that fell out of my brain last night. Okay, if anybody has a comment, this is KD0 asking anyone that has anything they wish to say, come on aboard. You know, when you get old, some things fall out of your brain. And remember, if there's any females in your life that are kind of a dragon a little bit, tell them you think you heard a mouse. In the classroom yesterday, all the kids were in the library, so I was in the classroom alone. I was on a computer, and I could hear things in the room. You know, like, what is those noises? So when everybody came back to the room, I informed them that I believe there's a mouse in the room because when they were away, I could hear noises. So, of course, all the girls kind of shrieked, and the teacher gave me an evil look because, you know, they want everything to be so stodgy in the classroom. But I do wonder what those sounds were that I was hearing. Well, nevertheless, that will get women to come off from their neutral, you know, off them being quiet, and they will give you an evil look or say something to you. So that's all I have for tonight. That's all I have planned. So I'm going to be listening for a while, but I'm going to drop off here if it's still being recorded, if you want to stop the recording or whichever. And remember, on that WWET gift store, there are ham gifts. That's what I found there on an ET gift store. If you look in the left column, it's got a blue banner, and on that blue banner is ham gifts. I didn't look at everything on there. I just kind of gave it a glance, although that was pretty neat that there's actually things you could buy on the Internet for hams that are not ARRL related or, you know, nothing that's normal, strange things. So that's all I have for tonight, guys, and I will say good evening to one and to all. And I appreciate you, Gordon, being there and keeping this thing glued together. And if anybody has any comments, come on now. This conference is yours. It's for your pleasure, for your entertainment. And now I am coming off, and I don't have any bells to ring. I meant to look for some bells in the house, but I don't know, except on the dogs. I don't know where there's any bells. I guess I could have picked up my little 3-pound Yorkie. I could have shaken her into the microphone, and you could hear a little bell go off, but I didn't think of that. That's all I have for tonight. So this is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, Mike in Olathe, Kansas, saying good evening to everyone. Bye-bye.